So every Sunday is special. Every Sunday is a feast day of our Lord. And that is why we gather on Sunday, every Sunday, to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord with a Eucharist. And we learned a few weeks ago that this presents us with the opportunity to penetrate the thin veil between this world and the next, and the past and the future, to commune with our Lord and all those with our Lord. Today is one of those extra special days. The color is white again, meaning that it is a feast of Christ, and today is specifically Christ the King Sunday. And before I explain the wacky ways of liturgical colors, I just want to say that every time we change liturgical colors in this church, it is a major behind-the-scenes operation. The woman behind this is your very own Cindy Jarvis, who I call Saint Cindy. And I just want to tell you that it takes three grown-up adults to change these banners with poles, and I tried to do it once by myself. It was a disaster. Tracy and I tried to do it. It was even more of a disaster. Screaming poles, things flying around. Three people that have to know what they're doing, including her husband, Alan, including Peter, who often helps with this operation, skillfully put these things up. So I just want to say that I really appreciate it, because it is important. It's important to signify the differences of days and to call out the special days of our liturgical season and vestments and altar hangings and all of that. And I could go on and on about that, but I won't. But today I will say the color is white. It's the color of Christ's specific feast day. Like All Saints, we use white at funerals and baptisms and marriages, white for purity, white for glory. And today we celebrate the sovereignty of God, of Jesus, and how we fit into this divine kingdom and what kind of subjects we are. How weird and glorious this church is. Today's readings are indeed weird and glorious and consist of one of my favorites, Psalm 95, and until recently, one of my least favorites, Matthew's apocalyptic sheep and goats story. So let's talk about the latter first and go ahead and acknowledge the livestock in the room. So if you are put off by the idea of cute, white, fluffy sheep getting a ticket into heaven while weird-eyed, horned, not-so-fluffy goats go to the eternal fire of hell, then you are a good Episcopalian. And if you're a little wacky like me and you think that goats are ridiculously cute, then you really have a problem with this passage, right? In seminary, one of my professors divided up the room for practical purposes, for projects and things that we would do, and he gave one side the definition of sheep and one side goats, and you can only guess which side I was on. I've always felt that sheep are privileged in this passage, but Matthew I have to look with Matthew at his parables that he's told us for the past couple of weeks. Parables that we've been discussing and trying to dig into to figure out what they mean for us. Because in those parables, Jesus is trying to get our attention and shake us up a bit to examine our own behaviors and our intentions, and specifically today, how we treat our fellow humans. So with that in mind, this tale of two animals is not so much a prediction of what the future will be, but more like a story about how to live life to make sure that this never happens. Think Scrooge in A Christmas Carol. Visiting the past, present, and future shadows can change your behavior and change your heart. In these verses from Matthew today, we read our only description of the Last Judgment in the New Testament, by the way. And this is interesting. The only criterion for salvation is not where you went to church or how you pray or even the liturgical colors, but it's how we see the face of Christ in the least of people, in the poor and the hungry and the imprisoned and the sick. As we approach Advent and the season in which we look for the incarnation of Christ, Matthew has given us parables and stories to help us realize what Emmanuel is, God with us and among us. And this passage today, we are face to face with the realization of the incarnation, that Christ is with us not just in the beauty of creation and the nicest and most pedigreed of us, but in the faces of the homeless folks that sleep in their cars or under bridges, those whose choices have landed them in prison, those who others have simply given up on. This idea of Christ with us in every human being can be the visions we need to set our hearts and minds in the receptive position for Advent. Part of the objective of today, Christ the King Sunday, is to recognize Jesus as King at the right hand of God and judge and all the royal stuff that goes along with being a king. But it's also to imagine ourselves as subjects in that kingdom of God. Today's focus is not just a claim about Jesus, but it's a claim about us and how we engage in this kingdom, how we participate, how we make this kingdom more present in the lives of others. How do we, as loyal subjects of our Lord, serve in the way that glorifies the kingdom? By making sure that all of the subjects are cared for as God cares for us. And that brings me to Psalm 95. It's also called the Venite from the Latin opening words of the psalm, O Come. And it's part of morning prayer in our prayer book. I'm sure that the psalm was chosen by the people that came up with the lectionary because of its kingly focus. It describes the vast creation of the earth by God and then encourages all to worship our Creator, our King. For He is our God and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Almost every morning for 3 years in seminary, I recited this psalm, and although I was named a goat in one of my classes, I couldn't help but think of the tiny sheep literally being in God's hand, His big hand and tiny sheep, and me being one of them, protected by God and loved by God and made by God and tended by God. I thought it was so appropriate to say the psalm in the morning, at morning prayer, because it was a call to worship all day long. Today, it is our call to worship all year long because it's a brand new year. Next week begins a new liturgical year. So this Sunday is kind of like New Year's Eve for us. Advent starts a new year. Psalm 95, Venite, O Come, is our song that seamlessly leads to, O Come, All Ye Faithful. A song that calls us to the season in which we look for the light of the stars and make our way through the darkness to Bethlehem. And like the passage from Matthew 25 today, it is a lens through which we see our Lord not only as King, but to see ourselves as faithful subjects. A wise professor once wrote, Jesus teaches that God's reign, the full revelation of which we await, is characterized in the present not by powerful works and miracles, but by deeds of love, mercy, and compassion, especially towards those most in need. Jesus' kingly ministry is to be reflected in His followers' exercise of shepherding care, and how we exercise shepherdly care to others. Fluffy sheep or gregarious goats, we all need care. And many times we are both, right? We're believers and unbelievers, we're caregivers and care receivers, both judged by our inability to fight for justice and saved by the grace of Jesus Christ all at the same time. Today's readings remind us of the greatness of God, of the sovereignty of Christ, of all we owe to our Creator King, and of what He asks of us: to welcome the stranger, to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, to serve the least of these. Because in that we serve the divine, Emmanuel, God among us, our risen Lord Jesus, our God and King.